Okay, I got the recording started. All right, so now I'm tripping up over my my headset wires here. I need to get a wireless headset, I think. Okay, I'll get the okay, the video recording started, the audio recording started, and we're good to go. All right, excellent. Hello, welcome to our November 5th Total Fitness Bodybuilding Talk Show. My name's Lee Hayward. And again, do apologize for a few minutes delay here. Like I say, I was having a few technical issues getting everything started here with the recordings and whatnot. But good news for tonight. You're in for a treat here because what I just set up, if you've already noticed, you're in here on the chat window, leehayward.com/TV, is I have set up an introductory offer for my new Blast Your Biceps program. You've probably heard me mention about this on previous shows, and that it's something that I've been in the works now for the past several months, you know, working on this thing. And I finally have the program already. I don't have the full Blast Your Biceps website set up yet, so that's something that I'm working on right now. But what I'm doing is I want to give you an opportunity to check this out for yourself. So I've set up a special introductory offer where you can get the program right now for just $9.95. It's a killer deal right there. Normally, this thing, when it's all said and done, it's going to have a lot more bonuses and upgrades and things like that, including videos and workout charts to go along with it, as well as other nutritional bonuses and things like that. And it's going to be a $47 package. But right now, just for viewers of the Total Fitness Bodybuilding Talk Show, I want to get some real-world feedback on this, get this out there, just so I can kind of get a feel for it before I actually do my public launch. And that's why I'm offering it to you now, so you can just grab it and check it out for $9.95. Like I say, it's a 141-page downloadable ebook, and then you can go there, just click on the link that's below this chat window right now, and download it for yourself and check it out and get it literally within, you know, 2 or 3 minutes from now and check that out. And again, the reason why I'm doing this is because I just want to get some real-world feedback from you. So I'm kind of like asking you as a favor here, too, to help me out and check it out and just let me know what you think of it. And then when it's, you know, the official thing is ready, the whole Blast Your Biceps website, the blastyourbiceps.com is ready to go, then I'll have that. And again, it's going to be a much higher-end product than what you're going to get now. I mean, so that's why I'm offering this introductory special. So that's something cool that I want you to check out. You know, if you've been waiting for this program and you're looking for a killer arm specialization program, then this is here. You know, it's a labor of love that I've been pouring into this because it's something that I've struggled with myself for years. Ever since I started working out, biceps has been, well, not just biceps, but arms in general has been one of my most stubborn body parts. And I've really had to look outside the box in order to find ways to overcome my genetic weakness here. And that's what I've done in this Blast Your Biceps program, is spilled the beans, basically, on the best training methods that I've found for bringing up stubborn arms. And again, I really want you to check that out. Again, just click on the link below, or you can type in www.blastyourbiceps.com, and it'll take you to the page there where you can download your copy of the program. Again, the official launch of this program is not, you know, underway yet. That's something you'll see down the road. But this is just a little sneak peek preview for viewers of the Total Fitness Bodybuilding Talk Show. So again, I want you to go check that out. And I'm going to go now check our chat window here this evening. I know we have a fair number of people on and some private messages coming through already. So if you're new to the show, you've never been here before, the way it works is I'm going to take some live Q&A right here on the show. So basically for the next hour, you have my undivided attention and you can pick my brain with regards to training, nutrition, supplementation, whatever you want. So how it'll work is you go to the user list that's inside of the chat window here, and you find my name, Lee Hayward. Just click on that and send me a private message. Once you click on my name, you'll get the option there to send a private message, and that's where you can submit your questions to me. When you do submit your questions, I would appreciate it if you kind of like sign your name so I can actually announce you by name here on the show, rather than just, you know, some random username or whatever. It's nice to be a bit more interactive here. So, again, if you want to sign your name there, I can actually call you by name as I'm answering your questions. And the way it'll work is I'll just be taking these questions first come, first serve through our private messages. Again, I won't be focusing so much on the main audience chat window because it tends to get a bit overwhelming. It's too much for me to pay attention to that as well as try and answer your questions at the same time. So that's why we're going to be taking things through the private messages. All right, with that being said, I'm just going to jump right in and see what we got here. Okay, Ricky's got a question. He's saying, I read somewhere where red wine brings out vascularity. Have you ever heard of this? All right, Ricky, yeah, I have. And this whole issue of wine and vascularity, that's something really common among bodybuilders, actually. Not that I'd recommend it, but if you go like to a local bodybuilding show or you go backstage at a bodybuilding competition, you will see some people drinking wine in efforts to bring out vascularity. I've tried it before myself, and, you know, it does, if you're super lean and you're, you know, your skin is thin and you're ripped and contest shape, then, yeah, it can help to bring up vascularity temporarily. And the reason is because the sugar in the wine and the alcohol helps to, increase your, you know, brings up the veins, basically. I mean, you'll get, you know, a sugar pump, so to speak. Even if you ate some junk food at that stage, that would even drive out some vascularity as well. So it's kind of the simple sugars and the alcohol and everything else increases your body's temperature a bit, and it just drives out, you know, you get more blood glycogen and things like that, and it does temporarily drive out more vascularity. It's not something that I would recommend doing. I mean, it's not like, hey, I'm going to go to the gym now and I should have a few glasses of wine so I can get my pump on or something like that. You know, yes, it does, but I wouldn't worry about that. Bodybuilders do sometimes do this backstage before getting up for competition and stuff. We'll actually drink a glass of wine or sometimes a bit too much wine and in an effort to get, you know, their vascularity and help them get a pump and everything else. I wouldn't recommend it myself. I'd just stick to, you know, your regular diet and everything else and, you know, go through your whole pump up routine or whatever that you're normally going to do backstage. I've tried it myself, and honestly, man, you can feel a little bit tipsy because you're dehydrated backstage. Chances are you haven't drank anything for weeks or months in advance, and then you're going to have a few glasses of wine or even a couple glasses, whatever. I mean, it can just mess you up. Sometimes it can make you sick. I've literally seen people drink so much wine backstage and that they actually start to fall down on stage because they're half in the bag, literally. So, I mean, yeah, it does help bring up vascularity, but at what cost? So I certainly wouldn't do it for a bodybuilding show. And I guess it's a good thing that I mentioned this now because we do have our local bodybuilding show here in Newfoundland coming up now in a couple weeks' time. So if any of the local bodybuilders are tuning in here now, take my words of advice here and don't drink wine backstage, you know. Falling down and making a fool of yourself on stage is not worth having an extra vein or two pop out. But anyway, yeah, so there, that does answer your question, I hope. And yes, wine does temporarily increase vascularity. All right? I see after the show and everybody's going to boot her down to the liquor store and see if they can get a $5 bottle of wine. All right, what else we got here? Bodybuilding 09 says, hey man, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I'm trying to gain some weight. Do you think you should do cardio? Get an extra O on your cardio there. Also, my stubborn muscle is my triceps. Should I train it more or less than normal? Thanks for the help. All right. You're in a mass building phase. You have two questions there, so I'll just take them one at a time. You're in a mass building phase and you're asking, should you still do cardio? And my answer is yes. You still want to do some cardio to maintain your muscular endurance and to maintain your conditioning and your work capacity and for the health benefits. However, you want to do moderate cardio. What I mean by that is you don't want to push it the same as if you were training for fat loss. For me, when I'm in a mass building phase, I typically work out, say, like every second day. I just find that that is one of the best programs to follow for building mass because you train a day, so you hit your body hard, then you give it a full 48 hours to rest before you hit it again. And I find that that, you know, is ideal for mass building because you're giving yourself time to grow and recover between your workouts. Now, what I will do is on my off days from weight training, I will throw in some extra cardio. It might be like a half-hour cardio session or something like that. And again, this could vary. I mean, it might simply be going for a walk outside. Might be doing cardio machines at the gym, whatever. But I will do about 30 minutes of cardio 3 to 4 times a week in my off season when I'm training for mass. And it's, again, a great way to do it. You could do your weight training one day, cardio the next, weight training one day, cardio the next, and just keep going like that. And if you wanted to take a day off each week and totally do nothing and relax, that's cool too. But again, alternating cardio and weight training, you're doing 3 cardio workouts, 3 weight training workouts a week, and then that's a great schedule there for building mass. You mentioned here that your stubborn muscle group is your triceps, and you're wondering should you train it more or less than normal. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I just launched, a little introductory launch here for you guys, the Blast Your Biceps program, which you can check out right now. Again, I have the link right below this chat window. It's blastyourbiceps.com if you're listening in. You can go in there and take advantage of this killer promotional offer that I got where you can get the Blast Your Biceps program, which is a specialization program for the arms. So again, biceps and triceps. Even though it's called Blast Your Biceps, it still covers a lot of tricep work as well. So again, that's what I would recommend you do. Check that out. Again, you can get it for less than $10. Can't go wrong. When it comes to the actual workout itself, the first phase of the Blast Your Biceps program actually is you're going to cut back on your training for your arms. Because chances are, if that's your stubborn body part, you're probably training it pretty hard now, and you're probably borderline overtraining it. So the first thing that you need to do in order to prime your body to grow again is you actually need to back off the training, let it rest and recover before you're ready to hit it with a new training routine. So again, like I said, the first phase of the program, even though it's an arm specialization program, the first thing you're going to do is cut out your arm training for a short phase. And this is going to prime your arms so that when you do jump into the actual training phase of the program, then they'll be more responsive to grow. So chances are, again, if that's what you've been pushing hard in the gym, you might want to back off your training intensity for a short period of time. And then what you need to do is you need to do something totally different that you're not used to doing for that muscle group. Again, I don't know exactly what your workout is because you didn't really list it, but you need to change up your exercises, change up your set and rep patterns. You need to do something unique and different to provide that muscle with some new growth stimulus. So again, it's a little tickle there in my throat. Same. Throat's a little dry. Got a frog in my throat. Anyway, where was I? I was talking about changing up your routines for your triceps. And another thing that you want to do for your triceps too is focus more on heavy compound movements for such as your chest and your shoulders and things like that, using like when you do any bench press variations or whatever, or shoulder press variations, probably using a slightly closer grip to place more of the stress on your triceps. Like when you're doing bench press, for example, a wider grip tends to work more of the outer chest more. The closer your grip, you tend to work more of the inner chest as well as more stimulation for the triceps. So again, even in your regular chest and shoulder workouts when you're doing your pressing moves, maybe move your grip in a couple inches. And that would help to put some more stress on your triceps as well and help to spur them on to growing. So again, there are some tips that you can give a try in your workouts. But again, the big one that I'd recommend for you is to grab a copy of the Blast Your Biceps program while you can. Again, like I say, it's $9.95 just for you guys here tonight. And when the official launch comes out, I mean, it's going to be a bigger package with a whole bunch of extra bonuses thrown in, and it's going to be available for $47. If you wanted to get the extra bonuses after that when it does launch, again, I'll probably make a special promo where you can get them at a discounted rate. But again, the actual program itself, the meat and potatoes Blast Your Biceps program, you can get it there tonight for just $9.95. All right, let's see what else we got. Go to Gym says, Do you think decline bench presses do any good? I read an article that said they were a waste of time. Well, it all depends on the individual. I think decline bench presses do have their place. It all depends, again, like I said, your individual, the training situation and whatnot. One thing that I do like about decline bench presses is they tend to place less stress on the shoulders. For some reason, a flat bench doesn't sit well with a lot of people with their shoulders, and it's just the angle of the bench and the way you're pressing and things like that, as well as your body structure. It tends to place a lot of the stress there, you know, on the rotator cuff and stuff. And a lot of people get injured with flat bench. So, you know, a good alternative would be the decline bench. It's less shoulder rotation, and it actually places a bit more stress on the chest and the triceps. So, again, if your triceps are a leg and body part, like going back to the previous question, decline bench is another good alternative there because it does place a bit more stress on them. Another thing, like incline bench, too. For some reason, a lot of people don't find that as, you know, painful on the shoulders as a flat bench. So, you know, if flat bench is a problem, then, hey, you can do a decline bench or an incline bench, and you can still get your bench press power exercise in there without the problems associated, you know, like shoulder problems or whatnot. So there's certainly benefit to it. Typically with a decline bench, you can handle more weight than you can with a flat or an incline. Usually the strength curve goes, you're strongest in the decline, you're not quite as strong in the flat, and then you're even weaker again on the incline. That's generally the way it goes for most people. So, you know, decline are good because you can handle a lot of weight and stimulate a lot of muscle that way. If you're going to do them, I probably wouldn't do too steep of a decline, just a slight decline, kind of put you in proper position for benching. But if you go too steep, it's almost too easy, and you might, you know, not get as deep of a range of motion and not as much muscle building benefit from it. So, you know, decline bench is certainly a good exercise, and it does have its place. Second, guys. Nasty little cough there, a real tickle in my throat. Excuse me. Not too professional, is it? excuse me. All right. What else? Okay, rock solid 12-1. Again, if you're sending in questions now, if you could sign your name to them, it'd be cool, because, like I said, I can call you by name rather than just by usernames. Hey Lee, how's it going? I got a couple questions. Number one, do you have any tips on increasing standing overhead press? I've been stuck at 200 pounds for a while and trying to increase it. Any tips? Number two, how do you maintain your strength while trying to get shredded? By the way, oh, my name is Omar. Hey Omar. I'm 19 and training for 4 years. 6 feet tall, 215 pounds, looking to compete next summer, and I really hope I don't lose my hard gained strength while cutting. All right. Okay, Omar, you got a lot of questions there, so I'm just going to take them one at a time. Again, the first one there, you're talking about your standing overhead presses. If you're stuck on any exercise, again, the key here is to change it up. So if the standing overhead barbell press, you know, the military press, what a lot of people call it, if that's your sticky point and that's where you're having trouble, then I'd say switch it up. Maybe do dumbbell presses. You know, you could do standing dumbbell presses. You could do seated dumbbell presses, whatever, mix it up. Another one of my favorite shoulder exercises is doing power rack lockouts. And so what you would do is you would set a upright bench in the power rack, and set the safety pins so that they're actually just slightly above your head height, and then rest the barbell there. And you would actually do lockouts from the shoulder, from the pins. So it's a partial range shoulder press where the bar is set above head height, and you're just doing partial reps from there. And you can handle a lot of weight in this exercise, and it can really help to strengthen your, you know, your lockout strength and just build up your shoulders and that so they can, and the tendons and the ligaments and everything else, so that they can handle and support a lot more weight. It also builds up your confidence, too, because you get the feel for what that heavier weight is like. And you can actually, you know, over time, work that partial range of motion into a full range rep if you work on it. So, again, that's one good one. Another one that you should try doing is, it's a body weight exercise, is handstand push-ups. And I actually have an article, I believe, on my article page, if you want to just go check it out. LeeHayward.com/art.htm. And I'm going to just find it for you there now and actually post it in our chat window. All right, it's called How to Perform Handstand Push-Ups. And if you want to go, again, if you go to my article page and just do a search for handstand push-ups, you'll see it there. And I explain how to do it, and I even got a YouTube video there showing how to get in position and whatnot. But handstand push-ups are a fantastic exercise for building up your shoulders, your triceps, and, again, it'll really help you with your standing overhead press. So you want to give that one a try. And, I mean, you could even do this as your main compound power exercise for your shoulders. If you wanted to give, I got an alarm going off here. All kinds of distractions. Okay, anyway. But yeah, you could do this as your main compound power exercise for your shoulders. So totally lay off the overhead presses for a while and focus on the handstand push-ups. Again, you're lifting your entire body weight here, so it is a mass-building movement. I mean, you'll be able to really feel this one working. And chances are, you probably won't even be able to do full-range reps right off the bat. You know, it takes a bit of practice. So what you could do is just practice getting yourself in position and actually statically holding yourself in the handstand position. You know, your first workout, maybe that's all you'll do. Just get in position, hold it for 10, 15 seconds, then come back down. And then you could do that again 3 or 4 times. You know, and that will be your actual workout there for your shoulders. After that, you could probably, you know, once you get comfortable holding yourself in position, then just do short little partial reps where you lower yourself down an inch or two and then lock it back out. And then gradually, as you get more comfortable with the exercise, you can eventually lower yourself all the way down so your forehead touches the floor and then do full handstand push-ups that way. So again, it's a fantastic little exercise you can do. I mean, you could even do it at home if you wanted to, you know, like on your off days from the gym, get some extra workouts in. But it's a fantastic exercise. One thing that I'll mention, if you're going to be doing them, you'll notice if you go to that article that I recommend doing them with your feet against the wall. So you're actually leaning against the wall doing your handstand push-ups. You probably want to take your sneakers off and just have your socks on, obviously, and because what it'll do is that'll allow your feet to slide up and down the wall a lot better than if you have sneakers on, because what'll happen is the rubber on your sneakers will stick to the wall and it might kind of throw you off a little bit. But if you just got your socks on, you know, cotton socks are going to slide up and down the wall as you do your handstand push-ups, and it'll make it a lot easier. You'll notice if you go to my article there and watch the video that I'm doing it with my socks on, and you can slide your feet up and down the wall that way. So again, those are some tips that you can use to help improve your improve your overhead press. What else you got there? You're saying, how do you maintain strength while getting shredded? This is something that you can try to do and strive to do, but the thing is, when you get lean and you start to lose some body weight and everything else, your strength is going to go down somewhat. You're not going to maintain all the strength you have. You're 215 pounds now. Let's just say you were to diet down 20 pounds or so. You're not going to be as strong at 195 as you are at 215. Chances are. Now, I mean, there's exceptions to the rules, but generally speaking, as you get smaller, you're also going to lose a little bit of strength. I find this when I'm training for bodybuilding competitions. While I do try to train hard and heavy and keep my strength up, I know that eventually, you know, it's going to catch up with you, the dieting and everything else, and you are going to lose some strength. That's just part of the game. That's why we cycle our training, you know, for mass and power, and then cycle it for, you know, dieting down and getting ripped. So you can't do both at the same time. Again, if there was a way to get big, strong, and ripped all in one, then that's all anybody would ever do, but it doesn't work that way. You know, you have to cycle your training. But here are a few tips that I will give you to help maintain your strength. And one of them is to diet down slowly. Don't try and lose too much too soon, because when you do, you know, like a crash diet type thing, you're just asking for trouble, and you're going to lose too much strength and too much body weight too quickly. So just focus on a slow, steady weight loss, probably like 1 to 2 pounds per week. That's it. Don't try to push it any harder than that. And this will usually allow you to maintain a good bit of your strength. Another thing that you want to do, and this kind of goes totally off the wall for a lot of people, is increase your sodium intake when you're dieting. For me, I will actually like add table salt to my food, and sometimes I'll even add a couple shakes of salt to my protein drinks as well. And the reason is because when you're on a strict diet, you know, you're on a strict fat loss diet, you're probably not eating a lot of processed foods, so your sodium level is down. Plus, you're also doing more cardio and maybe more frequent weight training workouts as well to try and burn off those extra calories and burn off that extra fat. So you're sweating more. All this, you know, causes your body to lose sodium. So by keeping adequate sodium levels in your body through, you know, adding table salt to your food and whatnot, you can help to keep your strength and energy levels up. Because if your sodium levels are too low, you're going to feel flat and you're going to feel depleted and you're going to feel weak. So this is a little trick that you can do. I do it myself when I'm getting ready for like a bodybuilding show, or if I'm in a serious fat loss phase, I will purposely add a little bit of extra salt to my diet, and it does make a big difference. If you experience muscle cramps or anything like that, increasing your sodium intake works great as well. So it's a little trick that you can do to help maintain your strength and your energy levels while you're on a strict fat loss diet. Okay, what else? Omar is asking there about power rack lockouts that I mentioned earlier. He's saying, how low do I put the pins? That would depend on you. You would slide the upright bench into the power rack to do power rack lockouts, and you would set the pins so that they're above your head height. Now, hopefully your power rack has pins that go all the way up, and you can actually do this. But you'd want to set it so when the bar is resting on the safety pins that it's higher than your head, so that you just have to press it from the top. You don't want to have to go through the full range of motion. You're just doing a partial lockout. Probably lock it out, say, 6 or 8 inches above your head. So, again, the actual height will depend on you and the height of the bench that you're using and whatnot. So it's something that you want to experiment with. I don't know if I have an article or anything or a picture to just kind of give you a little something to go on there. Might on my article page. Just going to have a quick look. Go to my article page, leehayward.com/art. I think if you do a search for shoulder workouts. Just so you know. What the heck? I'm not going to take up too much time here now, but I think I did have a shoulder article there somewhere. Best shoulder workouts. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. If you type in leehayward.com/shoulder_workout.htm, and again, I'll even type that into the chat window so you can go check it out yourself. The first exercise there is actually demonstrating this power rack lockout. So you can go and check that out and actually see a picture of how it's set up in the power rack. Okay, just a second. Now I'm going to type that into the chat window there. So you can go check that out, Omar. And I'm also going to put it into the main audience chat window as well, so again, you can check that out. All right, cool. All right, what else we got? Okay, Brent is asking, Haley, how are you on this fine Thursday night? Everybody's asking how I'm doing. I'm doing great, and I'm doing even better that everyone's so considerate to ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing great on this fine Thursday night. I was wondering about the calf workout you posted the other day where you hold the 10 seconds at the top and 10 seconds at the bottom. What else do you do with that? Anything before or after? I was also wondering about the 300 workout posted in Men's Health, which you covered. How often should that be done? Talk a little bit about the 300 workouts. Did you find it any, I guess it must mean any good, targeted mostly your back? It must with all them deadlifts and pull-ups. Okay, you got a smorgasbord of questions there, Brent, so I'll break them down. With the calf workout, you can do that style of calf training where you actually hold the exaggerated range of motion in the bottom for 10 seconds, hold the peak contraction for 10 seconds. You can do that with all your calf exercises, be it a standing calf raise, a seated calf raise, a leg press calf raise, whatever. You can do that with all your calf raises. And again, all you do, if you haven't seen the video yet, you know what, you're wondering what the heck I'm talking about, you can go to my YouTube channel and actually check it out. Again, there's a link to it right on my homepage, leehayward.com. But I'm holding the stretch in the bottom position, just letting the heels hang down as low as you can for 10 seconds. Then I come all the way up on the balls of my feet on my tippy toes, hold that for 10 seconds. And I just keep going through, alternating that, holding each position for 10 seconds until you can't hold that peak contraction any longer. When it gets really hard to hold that peak contraction, then I'll just bang out short little mini reps in the mid-range of motion. And this really helps to fry the calves. You know, you're working them through their full range of motion, and then you're really doing burns in the mid-range motion to take them past the point of failure. So again, it's a great way to really target your calves, and you can do it with all your calf exercises. So again, if just say, for example, you wanted to do standing calf raises and seated calf raises as a calf workout, you could do that style of reps for both of those exercises. All right, Brent, what else you got there? You're saying, wondering about the 300 workout that was posted in Men's Health. Yeah, I got a YouTube video on that as well. So if you went to my YouTube channel and just search through my videos, I posted it a while back now, so it's probably a couple pages back there on the channel. But again, that workout, it's a great conditioning workout. It's, you know, focuses a lot. There's several body weight exercises and some high repetition weight training exercises in there as well. So again, it's a great for overall conditioning. And the goal of that workout is you keep the volume and the weight and everything else the same, but what you try to do is increase how fast you can do that workout. So let's just say your first time through, I mean, maybe it takes you 45 minutes to do it your first time through, I mean, which is not uncommon for a lot of people. Then what you would try to do is next time through, probably get it done in 43 minutes or something like that. And you just keep beating your time each time through. Like someone who's in great shape should be able to do this workout in about 20 minutes flat. I actually got a buddy of mine who did it, I think, in under 17 minutes, and that's just, like, crazy. It was, I don't know exactly how long, but it was 16 and change, right? And he was in fantastic shape when he did that. So, again, that's what you try to do. You just strive to beat your time each time through. So it's the reason why it's called 300. It's 300 total repetitions of 7 different exercises, and the goal is you just go through that workout as fast as you can and, again, beat your time from the previous time through. I would say if you're going to do this, the way I did the 300 workout was 3 times a week, and I stuck with it for about a month. After that, I was kind of getting bored of it because it's the same thing over and over again. But it was a great change of pace while I did it because, you know, totally unique muscle stimulation from what I was used to. You know, you're not just, instead of shooting for, you know, more weight on the bar each time and taking long rest periods and stuff like that, like, you know, a typical power bodybuilding type workout, you totally change gears and you're focused on doing things as fast as you can and for high volume and things like that. So, again, it's a great change of pace if you're looking for something unique. And again, 3 times a week, because you want to give yourself a day of rest after each workout so that when you do get back to the gym, you can really give it your all and hopefully set a new personal record in time. Okay, what else you got there? Did it target the back? That workout, the 300 workout, it actually targets all the major muscle groups. How did it go? It was pull-ups, push-ups, deadlifts. I can't remember now. I haven't done it in a while. Pull-ups, push-ups, deadlifts. There was box jumps. There was a dumbbell clean and press. Actually, it was a kettlebell clean and press, but the gym that I train at doesn't have kettlebells, so I used a dumbbell. And floor wipers, I believe it was. Floor wipers is like a leg raise variation, and then finished off with some more pull-ups. So again, those were the exercises that you did, and you would do 50 total reps of each exercise. And if you want to get all the details about the workout, just go to my YouTube channel and search for the 300 workout. But yeah, it's a great workout, and I would recommend it if you're looking for something totally unique and something to really change up your workouts a bit, because it's certainly a big jump from your traditional bodybuilding type workouts. Okay, what else we got? Okay, Sharer, I can't pronounce your name. I'm saying, hey Lee, just wondering what exactly overtraining is. Also, is it okay to work out two different muscle groups on the same day? It's Sharer. I might be sure. I hope I'm not barbarizing your name here, but I know I am. Sharer, I think it's called. It says, just wondering, when I do tricep workouts or any workout that requires elbow bending, I feel pain in my elbows. Is this something normal? Okay. First things first, overtraining. What exactly is overtraining, you're asking? Overtraining is basically when you're doing more work than your body can recover from. And there's not a real set definition here for what constitutes overtraining, because it depends on the individual. We all have different work capacities. You know, some people can handle a higher volume of work than others. So, again, you can't just say, well, you know, X number of reps and sets constitutes overtraining or whatever. I mean, like some people will say, well, this is my workout I do, blah, 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 blah. And then someone might say, oh, that's overtraining. You can't really just narrow it down and be that cut and dry with it, because it depends on the individual. You know, there's some, what might be overtraining for me may not be overtraining for you, or vice versa. It all depends on your work capacity. Typically, people who are new to working out, beginners, they don't have a big work capacity, because they obviously haven't built up their work capacity. So they need to handle much lower volume, much shorter workouts than someone who's more experienced and has their work capacity built up. To give you a prime example of this, I mean, just go away from weight training for a second and you look, let's say, like cardio training. If you've never ran before and you try to go running, you know, you might run 2 minutes and be totally gassed and have to stop, versus someone who's an experienced runner, they can run for miles. So, I mean, that's what you got to look at. I mean, they've obviously built up their work capacity. So the same thing applies with your weight training. Someone who's brand new to weight training, well, they don't have a big work capacity. But someone who's been training for years, they do have a built-up work capacity, and they can handle more volume without overtraining. But again, what overtraining is basically doing more work than you can recover from. And there's a lot of factors that come into this. Your sleep patterns are one big thing. I actually posted up a little blog post about sleep today on my blog if you want to go check it out. So your sleep patterns can have a big impact. Your stress levels in your life can have a big impact. Your nutrition, all these things can factor into either helping with, you know, improve your work capacity and improve your strength and energy levels, or they can take away from it. So again, you know, if you didn't get a good night's sleep the night before and then you go into the gym, then, you know, you're going to feel beat down and everything else. So, I mean, that can help, you know, contribute to overtraining. So all this stuff comes into play. But, again, some symptoms of overtraining would be you're not making strength gains. That would be the big one. if you're not making strength gains or progress in the gym, then you need to like look at your overall workout and see, hey, am I doing too much here? Maybe I need to back off and change some things around. If you're lacking motivation to work out, I mean, if you're dreading going to the gym, you're like, oh, God, I don't want to go to the gym today. I just can't put myself through another workout again. Chances are you're probably borderline overtraining because you're burnt out. You know, your system is drained, you're burnt out, and you just don't feel like going to the gym. So, again, that might be a cause. What else is there? Appetite. Sometimes, you know, when people are overtrained, they kind of lose their appetite a bit. So, again, you might want to look at that. How are your eating habits and everything else? You know, are you eating normally? Is your appetite normal? So something you want to look at. And, again, with your sleep patterns, you know, sometimes overtraining, you know, you burn yourself out. You might want to end up sleeping too much or whatever, or sometimes not even sleeping enough. So all these things play a factor when it comes to overtraining. But again, the big one that I like to look for when I'm monitoring people's progress and whatnot is their actual strength gains in the gym, because this is a concrete, measurable number that you can compare. I mean, you know if you're stronger or not. I mean, if you're adding more weight to the bar or not. I mean, it's a very measurable thing to judge your progress on, versus how you're feeling is more subjective. So, you know, saying, oh, I feel tired or I feel energetic or whatnot, that's subjective. But your actual strength gains in the gym, that's a very concrete number, and that's one thing that I like to use that as one of the key factors when I'm determining someone's progress or whether they're overtraining or not. Anyway, I could go on and on and on about it, but hopefully that just covers some of the basis and you kind of get an idea of what it is. As for your tricep workouts, you're saying that whenever you do anything that requires you to bend your elbow, you're feeling pain. To me, that sounds like some form of elbow tendonitis, which is another form of overtraining. I mean, you're overtraining the joints here, and you've actually strained the tendons. So, like I say, you don't really go into a whole lot of details about what this is, but what I would recommend you doing is try and find some different tricep exercises. You know, if lying tricep extensions hurt your elbows, then switch it up. Probably try doing cable pushdowns instead. Let's just say that you're doing close grip bench press. If that hurts your elbows when you're working your triceps, then maybe switch it up and do like an overhead dumbbell extension or something like that. But again, play around with your exercises and see if you can find moves that don't bother your elbows. Because not every exercise works good for everybody. So, you know, certain exercises may feel really good for you. Certain exercises may be totally, you know, not working with your body type. So, again, play around with it, and you might be able to find, you know, some good tricep exercises that you can do without causing pain to your elbows. But, again, just from the sounds of it right there, that might be a mild case of elbow tendonitis there. And, you know, you may want to just take a break from tricep work altogether in order to let that heal up. Okay, what else we got here? All right, Andre is saying, what keeps you motivated for going to the gym? Are you planning to do a contest anytime soon? Where is the link? We cannot see it. Where is you link? We cannot see it. I don't know what you mean by the link. Am I freezing? Oh, you mean my video freezing up? I'm just going to go. I hope I wasn't. Jeez. I'm just going to go back to the audience chat window. Are we freezing up, guys? Choppy? Someone saying this is choppy? It's been fine. It's all of it's frozen. Lee, it's kind of frozen. Like I say, it seems fine from my end. It's all frozen. Jeez. Okay, I don't know what to do here. Like I say, it seems fine from my end. I'm waving here at the camera, and it's coming through. Glitch. I would say, I mean, if refresh your screen and see if that makes any difference. It's fine on my end, but again, maybe the if you refresh your screen, it might, you know, refresh the video or whatnot. Still frozen. Press refresh and it works. It doesn't matter. You don't need to see him. Okay, yeah, I guess not. We've done it. No different for me. All right, well, sounds fine. Choppy video. It's frozen. Okay, guys, sorry about that. It's like I say, it seems fine from my end. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to actually shut it down, because if I do, then I'm going to lose everybody's questions that they sent in already. So instead of doing that, as long as the audio's coming through, then I'd say we're good to go. Like I say, it's just a talking head here on the video camera anyway. So tune in and listen, and we'll get through the questions. Like I say, we only got another 10 minutes to go anyway, so rather than lose everybody's question, I'm going to, I'm going to just keep going. All right. Anyway, where I was, Andre was asking me, what keeps me motivated for going to the gym? And am I doing any contests anytime soon? Well, I'm not doing any contests this year. I may do one next year. One thing it is with me and contests, like I've been competing since I did my first show in 95. So I'm kind of like at the stage now where I just don't want to do a contest for the sake of doing a contest. Like a lot of people, they kind of get hooked on the whole competing thing, and I know some people like to compete every year or whatnot, and sometimes even if they're not at their best or whatever, they'll still go through it and compete for the hell of it. But I'm like at the stage now where if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it 110%, and I want to come in better than I ever have. So I don't want to just go through the motions with a contest. So, like I say, I'm thinking of doing one next year. I mean, that's another thing I want to do. But again, I have to be totally 100% committed to it. If anybody's ever done a bodybuilding contest, you know that that takes priority in your life. If you've got a lot of other things on the go at the same time, then you're not going to be able to give it 100% to the contest. So you want to kind of really schedule yourself so that, okay, for 3 months before the contest, you know, this takes priority over everything else, and you really just give it, like I say, 110%. And like I say, I've got a lot of things on the go right now in my personal life and with some business projects that I've been working on and things like that, that I haven't been able to do that 110% commitment to a contest preparation. So that's part of the reason why I didn't decide to do a contest this year. Like I say, one of my goals that I wanted to get done was writing my new book, Blast Your Biceps, and that was a priority of mine. So little things like that, like when you're on a low carb contest diet, your brain doesn't function enough for you to write a book. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to do anything like that this year. So, but again, maybe next year I might get into contest mode again and see if I can't set a new personal record in terms of getting in my all-time best shape and see how that goes. But like I say, that's down the road, and I'll worry about that when the time comes. What keeps me motivated to go to the gym? Like I said, I've been doing this so long, it's just part of my lifestyle now. And, you know, I won't say I don't go through phases where I'm not as motivated, but it's just what I do. One thing that keeps me motivated is I want to practice what I preach. I mean, my whole business is here helping you with your workouts and your training and nutrition and everything else, and I'd feel like a total idiot if I didn't actually follow through and do what I'm recommending and practice what I preach. So just the fact that I'm here, you know, like say doing this stuff with you guys, I want to actually do it for real in my own life as well. So that's a big motivating factor. Another big motivating factor is my girlfriend. She works out and she's very serious about it. So very often, if I'm kind of a little slack, she'll give me that kick in the ass that I need and say, okay, you know, let's get to the gym. So that's a huge motivating factor. I guess the buddy system, and this is something that you can kind of implement in your own workouts as well. If you have a training partner, you know, someone who's actually depending on you to go to the gym, so you're not just doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for somebody else as well, this can really help with your motivation, because even if you're kind of feeling a bit lazy and, I don't really want to go to the gym today, the fact that somebody's going to be there waiting on you and depending on you, you might, you know, very often we'll do more for others than we will for ourselves. So sometimes having that, you know, a training partner or a buddy there to hold you accountable can help push you going to the gym a bit more. So, like I say, those are some things that I have going for me. But main thing, it's just, you know, part of my lifestyle. Again, I've been doing it so long that I'm, you know, it's a habit now. I mean, it's kind of like an addiction in a way, that I just love to work out. And I actually feel pretty crappy if I don't. So I guess that's my main motivating factors right there. Okay, what else we got here? So I'll take another couple questions before we clue it up for the evening. Throat is really dry this evening for some reason. Hope I'm not coming down with something. all right. What do we got? Can you recommend some nice alternatives for those two exercises? I don't know what you meant. Hang on. Those two exercises. This is literally the question that came through. It says, can you recommend a nice alternative for those two exercises? Okay, anyway. Would it adversely impact my gains if I don't stick to the exercises exactly as they're outlined? The question is missing, yeah. Okay. All right. The super Zay Chick is typing into the chat window now. It's Zay Chick. Okay. I got a series of questions regarding your 12-week program. Okay. Yeah, for some reason, his question didn't get typed in properly or didn't show up properly. My gym lacks equipment for doing hyperextensions and calf work. Can you recommend some alternatives for those exercises? All right. Hyperextensions, if you don't have a hyper bench, you can do good mornings. To do a good morning, it's basically just set up the bar on your back just the same as if you're going to do squats, except you actually bend over at the waist and straighten back up. Again, something you want to play around with and practice, because there's different variations to good mornings. You know, there's you can have a wide stance, a narrow stance, arch back, bent over, whatever. But just a standard good morning, again, great alternative for the hyperextension. What else did you have here? There's a lot of questions coming through there. I lost my place. Okay, you can stop posting now for a second until I catch up with all the questions you got already. Okay, the hyperextensions, again, due to good mornings for that. Calf work. If most gyms should have some shape, form of a calf machine in there somewhere. A standing calf raise, a seated calf raise. And if you don't have either one of those, then you can use the Smith machine and get a block of wood or like an aerobic step or something like that and put into the Smith machine and then have the bar on your back just the same as if you're going to squat and do calf raises there in the Smith machine, again, on a block of wood or on a step. That would be a great alternative to a standing calf raise. You could do it with a free weight barbell, but, again, the balance issue comes into play, especially if you're trying to do it standing on a step or something. So if you can, I'd recommend doing calf raises in the Smith machine, and that would be a lot safer, and you feel a lot more solid doing them that way. You could also do dumbbell calf raises. In this one, you literally just hold a dumbbell and do one leg calf raises at a time. Again, standing on a block or a step. And again, to hold the dumbbell in the same hand as the calf you're working, and this is a great way to help add resistance and work your calves, you know, independently, so your hips are both left and the right calves separately, and help to create some equal development between the both calves. What else you got there? You're saying, would it adversely impact my gains if I don't stick to the exercises exactly as they're outlined? No. I mean, if you don't have a certain machine at your gym, then obviously you can't do that, and you're going to have to find a substitute exercise, and that's fine. You know, as long as you're working the same muscle groups and with a similar type exercise, you're still going to be able to make progress. So, you know, do the best you can with what you have. I mean, every gym is different, so play around with it and just make substitutions where needed. The key here is to be consistent with your workouts, to have some progressive overload and everything else, and be consistent. You know, that's the key right there. Having the exact exercise, like, you know, if I say, oh, you got to do, or the workout program calls for hack squats, and you don't have a hack squat machine, you know, that's not going to make or break the program. Do another squat variation, like maybe do front squats instead. You know, if you don't have, you know, the standing calf raise, like I mentioned, you could do calf raises in the Smith machine. If you don't have, I don't know, whatever machine you don't have, again, there's a way to work around that and work those same muscle groups with another exercise variation. So don't get too hung up on the actual exercises itself. You know, just find some variations and you can work your way around it. And he's referring to my 12-week workout program that's at leehayward.com. leehayward.com/workout_programs.htm. So that's the program that he was referring to, the 12-week program. And again, if you want to just go to my article page, you could do a search and you could find it there. But, yeah, the kicker is don't get hung up on the exercises. Focus more on the overall workout and training the muscle groups. Let's see. What else we got here? Okay. BScott20 is saying, I train each body part two times a week, one heavy, high volume. One heavy and one high volume, okay. I eat well, get good rest. I don't think I'm overtraining, but my forearms kill me when I release my grip after doing heavy bench. Any ideas why? I guess heavy bench press, your forearms and your arms are contracting to support that weight, so maybe that's what's causing the pain, I guess, in your forearms. I really don't know what else to say about that. You train each body part twice a week, and you're saying your forearms kill you when you release your grip. As long as it's not hindering your workouts, I mean, if you say it's killing you, but obviously that's figuratively speaking, or else if you were really killed, you wouldn't be here typing your question for me to read. But I guess, if figuratively speaking, just if you're feeling pain in your forearms when you release your grip, I mean, you might have some form of tendonitis or something like that. But if you can still work out and do your exercises comfortably, then it's not really a huge deal. I mean, you could try some, you know, elastic support wraps or whatever, some wrist wraps or something like that, you know, try and take some of the tension off there. But, again, it's... I guess, need to know more information there in order to offer any more helpful advice. But when you're doing heavy benches or whatnot, then chances are, yeah, I mean, you're really going to put a lot of strain on your hands and as well as your forearms. One thing I will mention, though, is depending on the bar that you're using for your bench presses, if you are using a thin bar, that's going to place a lot more stress and probably like pinch nerves in your hands a lot more than if you're using a thicker bar. And to give you an idea where I'm coming from here, when I was training at home and in my home gym, I had a standard 1-inch barbell that I did for all my exercises. And this is just the standard 1-inch bar. I mean, you can get, this is the barbell set that you would get like at a department store somewhere. And that's what I did all my workouts with. Now, the bars that are at the gym, the standard Olympic gym bars, they're thicker than 1 inch around. I don't know the exact diameter, like 1 1/4 inch or something like that, but it's slightly bigger around than a standard like home gym bar. And that makes it a big difference when you're doing things such as bench presses or whatever and the bar is resting in the palm of your hand. So it's possible that you could be pinching a nerve in your hand or something like that when you're doing your benches, especially if you're using a thin bar. So something you might want to experiment with doing is probably wear a pair of padded workout gloves. I'm not usually a huge fan of workout gloves, but in certain cases like this, it might help. And if you have a thicker bar available, again, you can play around. Like if you're at a public gym, you know, they probably got different bars. If there's any bars that are a little thicker, then you could probably use that for your bench presses as well. So, you know, that's something that comes to mind there as a possible reason why you could have forearm pain when you're doing bench presses. You could be pinching nerves in your hands from the bar digging in. So, something to think about anyway, you know, check it out. What else we got? Okay, I know there's a lot more questions coming through here, and we're already over our time here now. Let's see. Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to get through all these again tonight, but I'll take one more before I clue it off. Let's see. What else? Okay, Haley, can you recommend a great workout program for maintaining muscle mass while effectively losing body fat? Would Blast Your Bench, Blast Your Biceps, or your 12-week program be any good candidates, or are they strictly for mass-building purposes when one is in a caloric surplus? Okay. Actually, no, they're not strictly for mass-building purposes. I know people who have actually followed the Blast Your Bench program while on a fat-loss diet and did actually increase their strength while they lost body fat. Now, again, it's rare, but I know people who have done it. Now, they didn't make huge strength gains, but nonetheless, they still got stronger while they got leaner at the same time. The program that I outlined in Blast Your Biceps, the core bicep specialization program here, I actually followed this during my contest preparation for the 2007 Heavyweights Classic, and that was the show that I actually won the light heavyweight division and the overall. And the meat and potatoes bicep specialization program, that's what I actually followed for the 3 months leading up to that show. And that was the show that I actually came in and brought my arms up, I guess, on par with the rest of my physique. And one of the reasons that allowed me to win that show is because I finally had a proportioned physique without arms, leg, and behind. So you can still make progress on a fat loss diet. You're not going to make the same size gains or the same strength gains, but nonetheless, you can still make some good gains there. Obviously, they work better for mass building, strength building when you do have that caloric surplus and you're just bailing back the grub, right? But you, like I say, you can still make progress with a fat loss program as well. I'm just wondering, what's a good program for maintaining muscle mass during fat loss? Again, all these programs that you mentioned would fit the bill here. The key here is to not be too drastic with your fat loss program. See, the big thing when it comes to fat loss is a lot of people, they try to do too much too soon. You know, the thing is they overestimate how hard it's going to be, but they underestimate how long it's going to take. You know, you really need to factor in time to let yourself lose the body fat slowly, you know, without being too drastic and sacrificing lean muscle along the way. So I think you know, a good, well-laid-out fat loss program where you have a slight caloric deficit and you're burning off extra calories through regular cardio. That helps you tap in your stored body fat, but then you can also have a good, serious strength training program in there to help maintain your muscle mass in the process. So, you know, that's the kicker right there, is to take your fat loss slow. Almost 9 out of 10 times when you hear people running into problems, you know, they're losing strength and losing muscle and all that, they're trying to do too much too soon. All right, let's see. I'm going to clue it up because we are gone over our hour as it is. But again, I want to just remind you now before we clue it up for the night, check out blastyourbiceps.com. Again, I have a link to it right below our video chat window here. You can go in there now, and again, this is a special introductory offer just for viewers of the, just for viewers of the Total Fitness Bodybuilding Talk Show, where you can get the copy of the Blast Your Biceps program, brand new program. Like I say, this has not been released yet to the general public. So again, you can grab a copy right now for less than $10. You can go in there, download it, and have it on your computer within, you know, 2 minutes from now if you want it. So again, I recommend you go check that out. Like I say, I won't have that special offer up for long. I'm kind of just doing this because I want to get it out to you, and I want to get some real-world feedback about it. So if you do go and buy this program, please, you know, check it out and then shoot me an email and let me know what you think of it. I really appreciate that, and it'll help me when I do my public launch later, you know, this year when I get it out. It's going to be the big full meal deal package going out to the public. But again, this is just a special introductory launch just for viewers of the Total Fitness Bodybuilding Talk Show. All right, so that's it for tonight. Like I say, we had some great questions coming through. I do apologize if we did have any technical issues with the video, but thankfully the audio came through and whatnot. We'll be on again next Thursday night, same time, same place, and I'm looking forward to talking to you then. Take care and have a good night.